Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to Daf Beis, we notice in the outside margin of our Shas Ozer, that's the Shas that appears on your screen, a topic heading that we entitle Nosei. We have written under the Nosei heading the following title heading or synopsis of the Sugya: Mashmois Shel Hakol Shochatin Ushchitosim Kshera. We want to understand the intent of the Mishnah that opens up with the expression Hakol Shochatin and then continues with the expression Ushchitosim Kshera. On the very surface, it would seem to imply that there is something that's lichatchila, that everyone can shecht as a first choice, and then it says ushchitosan kshera, which implies that only post facto, if they shechted, it's considered all right. That in and of itself would be contradictory. Once again, you're telling me that everybody, seemingly an unqualified everybody, can shecht as a first choice, and then you tell me ushchitosan kshera, which implies, well, if those that you included shechted, slaughtered, then it's okay, but not as a first choice. This will be dealt with by the Gemara. Turning now to the Mishnah, hakol shochtin, everyone can slaughter, is acceptable as serving in that capacity, ushchitosan kshera, and if they shechted, it's okay, it's kosher, it's acceptable. Chutz, with the exception of cheresh, shoite v'koton. A cheresh is someone who is a deaf mute. A shoite is someone of subnormal intelligence. V'koton, a minor. Shemo yekalkalu es shchitoson. They may ruin the shchita. It is not too late to point out that in Hilchos Shechita there are several points that one has to have in mind. In other words, one must be aware of in order that the slaughtering, the Shechita, should be acceptable. Amongst those ideas are that there should be no drossa, there should be no pressure placed down, a downward pressure placed on the knife when shechting. The knife is to be exposed. There should be no hachloda. The knife is to be exposed at all times. In other words, the reverse side of the blade has to be visible. In other words, it's not allowed to slip the knife into the under the skin of the animal that's being slaughtered and cut the simonim. The simonim being the trachea and esophagus. There is also not to be any shihia. There's not to be any pausing in the Shechita. And there are other halachas associated with Shechita that we will encounter as we go on in the Masechta. But these people, the Cheresh, Shoita, the Katan, are considered inept. The Kulon, Sheshachtu, the Achirim, Royen, Oisan, and all of them. This word too is a pronoun, all of them. The question is, who are the them that are being referred to? If they shechted and others see them, v'achirim royen oisan, others see them, watch them, supervise them, shchitosan kshera, then their slaughtering will be acceptable. The Gemara. As we mentioned earlier, the Gemara will focus on the language of the Mishnah. Hakol shochtin, that expression equals lechatchila, indicates something that's fully, totally acceptable. We can call that a first choice. In other words, everybody can shecht, and that's totally fine. Ushchitas on kshera, that expression equals dieved, and this is a point of wonderment. Dieved means post facto, meaning if they shechted, if all those that you included shecht, then we will accept it, but not as a first choice. That itself is something that is hard to understand. In other words, this type of Mishnah, this seeming built-in contradiction poses a difficulty. At this point in the Gemara, you can learn this, the next few lines, as a response, or you can learn it as an attempt to question the basis of the question. We're going to learn it like that. We're going to learn the following few lines as an attempt to question the basis of the question. In other words, this question was based on the assumption that the expression hakol at the beginning means first choice. If we can demonstrate that hakol does not mean first choice, then we wouldn't have this seeming contradiction. So the Gemara asks, Omele Rav Acha Brei Derava LeRavashi, V'chol HaKol LeChatchila Hu. Wherever you see the word HaKol, that means that which is being spoken about is a first choice, you'll notice a triangle shape appears. The triangle shape is explained under the Mivneh heading that you find in the outside margin. In our Gemara, as you turn ahead, you will notice that there are triangles that appear in two different directions. The inverted triangles will appear on Amud Beis. So under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we feature triangles in two directions. Makoros, the Gemara will be introducing sources, Levarer, in order to analyze or clarify Im Hakul Mashma Lechatchila Oy Dieved, where you see the word Hakol appearing in different Tanaic sources, does it in fact mean Lechatchila or Dieved? At this point, we're going to raise a source which will show that the word Hakol is Dieved. Hence, we've used a triangle with the point facing up to indicate that. When the triangle flips over, this, with the point facing down, this will be a point at which the Gemara will in fact show that it does mean lechatchila. But at this point the Gemara asks, is it really so that hakol is lechatchila? Elo me'ata, if that be the case, we have a Tanaic source, and you can see it appears in a frame, as in do all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. This source deals with a topic called Tmura. Tmura is a phenomenon where a person replicates the sanctity of an animal designated as a sacrifice. This procedure is something that's forbidden to do, but if one does it, it takes hold. A person, let us say, has an animal set aside, dedicated as a korban oila, and standing next to it is a chulin, a mundane animal, and he says that he wants to be meimir ze boze, which means he wants to replicate the kedusha that's on the ola animal, and have that kedusha duplicated on the chulin animal. As we said, this is not allowed by the Torah. However, if it's done, it takes hold. So the Gemara asks, Ela me'ato ha'koyul memirin, echod ho'anoshim ve'echod hanoshim. Everyone does tumura, men and women. Are you going to say, like we said in our Mishnah, that the word hakol means as a first choice, as something totally acceptable? And in this case, it would mean that everyone can with full approval, go ahead and replicate Kedusha. But the Torah says otherwise. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oisoi toiv b'ra o ra b'toiv. Without getting into any details of the topic of Temura and explaining this pasuk, it is sufficient for us to see that the pasuk is stated in the negative. Lo yomir oso. One is not allowed to do this process known as Temura. So we see that the expression hakol that appears in the Tanaic source in Maseches Temura is not taken as lechatchila. And if that be the case, so then why, in opening up our Gemara, are we assuming that hakol shochten necessarily means lechatchila, and then have it run up against the expression ushritazon kshera? Maybe hakol shochten itself is of a dieved nature, just like you see by Temura. The Gemara answers, well, in the case of Temura, the term hakoil is understood to mean dieved, because the Mishnah itself there, the Tanaic source itself over there, undoes the possibility of it meaning lechatchila. There's a built-in undoing of that understanding. But in the absence of such a built-in undoing, the expression hakol will remain as meaning lechatchila, and hence we will have our opening problem. So the Gemara responds, hasam, there in the case of Temura, kedekatani taima, as the Mishnah explains the reason. In other words, the Mishnah, and using Rashi's expression, the Mishnah there undoes the possibility of hakol meaning lechatchila. It says there, lo isha adam rashoi lahamir, not as if it's to say that a person is allowed to do temura, ela shim homir mumar v'sofeg ezhar boyim. But if he did do this temura action, mumar means it takes hold, v'sofeg ezhar boyim, and he will be, he will have lashes administered to him. Literally, he will absorb the 40. The 40 is a reference to the 39 lashes that a person is punished with when he violates a negative command in the Torah, as is the case over here with Temura, where it says lo, negative, lo yomir oisai, and he went ahead and did it. Once again, the hakoil word at this point still has the lechatchila connotation. As far as seeing the word hakol in Temura indicating something that is not lechatchila, that is only as a result of the fact that the Mishnah there builds in the undoing of the lechatchila understanding. But in our Mishnah, we don't have such a built-in undoing, and therefore we're left with the conventional or the standard understanding of hakol meaning lechatchila. And once again, we still have our problem of what to do with the expression ushritason kshera, which would seem to indicate something only b'dieved. The Gemara asks, once again, a long question. What we mean by the question over here is, we are questioning our opening understanding of hakol as meaning lechatchila. Notice we have a long question indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a kuf that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line. This vertical descending dashed line continues till the top of Amud Beis, and it indicates the length of the question. So the Gemara asks, Ela hakol ma'arichin v'nerochin noidrin v'nidrin. We've, of course, emphasized with a dashed underline the word hakol, which is the central point of our interest and discussion. The topic being quoted here has to do with taking vows, indicating vows whereby one promises through a vow to donate money to the Beis HaMikdash. There are different channels and methods of making such donations. The expression ma'arifin has to do with a person dedicating the Torah value of an individual. The Torah value of an individual is based on an age-price relationship that is established in the Torah. 50 coins are paid for someone between the ages of 20 and 60, a male between 20 and 60. There is a 15 coin rate for a different age, and also there are price differences based on gender as well, male, female. It's not the purview of our shir to get into the details of these other topics, so it's sufficient to say that the terms ma'arifin and ne'erochin have to do with what we call a pre-established Torah value. Nodrin, v'nidrin, has to do with someone who dedicates his market value. Once again, we are avoiding getting into any specific details. However, what we see here is that the expression hakol appears, and there isn't any built-in undoing of the meaning of this word. So, as we opened up our sukkah, our Gemara today, we would have thought that hakol means lechatchila. And are you going to say, therefore, that taking vows involving money dedication, or in fact, we can expand this in general, anything having to do with taking of vows, is that something that is viewed as good to do, lechatchila, that one is expected or encouraged to do such a thing? So, hochi nami lechatchila, are you going to say that here too, just like you wanted to learn our Mishnah as hakol shochtin, meaning everyone can shecht as a first choice, so too everyone can take vows as a lechatchila behavior? The hoksiv, but there is a Torah pasuk that says, v'chisechdal lindor lo ye b'chochi. Sechdal means to cease, to desist. When you cease from vowing, then there will be no sin. There's a pasuk in Koheles that is found in Perek Hei Pasuk Dalet, but prior to that, it says in Pasuk Gimel of Koheles Perek Hei, and we've written in this between the lines, it says, Es asher tidor shalein. That which you vowed to pay, you must pay. However, toiv asher lo tidor, misha tidor velo tishalein. It would actually be better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Vitanya, and we have a Tanaic source in which you see further clarification of this topic. Toiv mizeh umizeh she'eino noyder kol ikur, divrei Rabbi Meir. Better than all of these cases, better than not vowing, better than vowing and not paying, and better than vowing and paying, is she'eino noyder kol ikur, divrei Rabbi Meir. Better not to take vows at all. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Toiv mizeh umizeh, noder umishalem. The best thing, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be someone who vows and pays it up. However, v'afilu Rabbi Yehuda lo ko'omar, even Rabbi Yehuda is not advocating vow taking across the boards. Elo bi'omer harei zu. This is a situation where a person sets aside an animal as a sacrifice, and he says, I declare this animal to be a neder, to be a vow, to be a sacrifice, whereby he does not accept upon himself or incur any personal responsibility. For in the case of a harei zu dedication, if the animal dies or gets lost, he is not obligated to make good on it. Avol omar harei olai. If a person were to have accepted a personal responsibility concerning the sacrificial vow he made, for example, he says, it is upon me to bring a korban ola or a korban shlomim, etc., Lo, even Rabbi Yehuda would concede that that is not good to do. So at the end of the day, at the end of the picture, what do you see? You see that vow-taking is not something that one should engage in lechatchila. Even though the Mishnah in Erechin said hakol ma'arichin. So you see that the expression hakol does not imply something that is positive, lechatchila, a good thing to do. That being the case, why then was the Gemara forced to learn our Mishnah, where it said hakol shochtin, as meaning everyone lechatchila can shecht, and then create a problem with regard to the continuation of the Mishnah, where it indicated only shchitas and kshera, where those that we included, their shchita would be good only v'dievet post facto. So at this point, the Gemara is creating the impression that hakol, from the case of nedarim, in fact, can mean b'di'eved, post facto. However, the Gemara now asks from the opposite standpoint, v'chol hakol lav l'chadchilahu, and where you see the expression hakol, it does not mean l'chadchilah. What about the following? And here we have a fusion of several Tanaic sources, and we've marked it in one frame, but they are basically Tanaic in origin. It says hakol chayov b'sukkah, hakol chayov b'tzitzis, everyone is obligated to fulfill sukkah, and everyone is obligated to fulfill tzitzis. Hachi nami delav lechatchila, are you going to say that that does not imply as a first choice, as a right thing to do? Of course, hakol chayovim besukkah, everyone is expected to sit in the sukkah. So there, the hakol certainly has a lechatchila connotation. We must caution that in the context of our shiur here in Maseches Chulin, we are not getting into the details behind that which is implied in the case of sukkah and the case of tzitzis. What we are trying to do right now is simply get a flavor of the expression of hakol. However, there is much more detail to understanding these sources, and that is revealed in the respective masechtas where these sources are coming from. However, once again, here it's very clear that hakol does mean lechatchila. The Gemara says you can't rely on this source dealing with sukkah and tzitzis to shed light on our Mishnah, because chayovin lo koamina, where the expression hakol is accompanied by the word chayovin, like we have here, if you just glance back at the framed section just that we just read, you can see the hakol is followed by the word chayovim. Everyone is obligated. So that when you have hakol coupled with chayovim, it's clear that that is of a lechatchila nature. Well, we're going to cite now another case where you don't have the word chayavim, and you do have the word hakol, and it does mean lechatchila. So, elo me'ata. And this source has to do with the placing of one's hands on the head of an animal sacrifice that one is bringing to the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, hakol soimchin, echad ha'anoshim ve'echad ha'anoshim. Everyone who owns a sacrifice and is bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash must place their hands on its head, men and women. So, hachi nami delav lechatchila, are you going to suggest, like we attempted to say on Omid Aleph, that it does not mean lechatchila? The pasuk says that you shall place your hands on the head of the korban as a step in achieving atonement. So from here you see that hakol, from the case of hakol somchin, hakol is lechatchila. And just to review the main point, if you go this route, you end up with the difficulty that we opened up our Gemara with regard to our Mishnah, where hakol means lechatchila, and then the following expression that we saw in our Mishnah, shchitas and kshera, meant only dieved. The Gemara responds, yes, Iko hakol lechatchila, the iko hakol di'eved. The term hakol is elastic. Sometimes it can mean lechatchila as a first choice, and sometimes it means di'eved, something that's good only post facto. Ela hakol dehocha. The hakol here in our Mishnah. Mimai delechatchilahu detikshilach. From where do you know that it means lechatchila, and thereby creating a problem as the Gemara opened up? Dilma di eved hu velo tikshilach. Maybe hakul means post facto, and then we would have no difficulty. The Gemara here then is asking basically on the opening assumption in our Gemara from Amud Aleph. Why invite trouble when you don't have to? If you tell me that the expression hakol is elastic, and you tell me that ushitas and shero means dieved, so why not just learn that hakol shoychtin is also dieved, and then there will be no built-in contradiction? Omale, so he responds, if you want to know why I feel there is a difficulty, Ano shchitosan ksheiro kashyali. The expression, the second expression in the Mishnah, is what's creating my difficulty. Midikotoni shchitosan ksheiro. From the fact that the Mishnah uses this expression, the eved, which clearly means post facto, michlal da hakol lechatchilahu. It must be then that hakol means something else, and the only other choice is that it means lechatchila, which of course creates our difficulty. The di'eved, because if the hakol were di'eved, and we know that shchitasan ksheira is di'eved, tarti di'eved lomali, what in the world would you have to have two di'eved expressions for? That certainly could not be. That's ruled out right at the outset. So the only other possibility is that hakol means lechatchila, even though that also creates a certain difficulty, the seeming contradiction. But apparently, we'd rather deal with a seeming contradiction and try to resolve it, which of course the Gemara does, than deal with a redundancy. So the question remains right now, how are we to understand these two expressions in the Mishnah, the opening expression hakol shochtin and the following expression ushchitasan ksheira? This lays out our task and the groundwork ahead of us. This in fact is a labor of love that will last till daf gimel amid beis. This is an example of a long sugya, a sugya where the markings that you are enjoying right now will rise to the occasion. You can at this point in the Gemara sit here with Daf Beis Amud Beis open in front of you, and if you have if you've already ordered and are in possession of your personal volume of this Maseches Chulin, you can start turning the pages and see ahead. And if you have it on your computer screen and Daf Gimel is available, you can scroll ahead to see this as well. We have diamonds that appear, and these are explained in the outside margin under our Mivneh, our Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei, as we explained before, indicates a topic heading, and Mivneh, a structural note. At times, we combine them into the same note, where the structure, in fact, serves to explain the topic of the Gemara. So in this case, you see we featured a diamond, and we've indicated, Hey Shitas, five approaches, the Hezber HaMishnah, in explaining the Mishnah. We also have employed a double underline, which we use here to emphasize Mishpatim Ikariim, central sentences or phrases of central significance in each explanation. So, if you take the trouble to scan ahead, you'll notice that we've indicated Rabo Bar Ula immediately with a 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, several lines from the top, six lines from the top. At the end of the line, you'll notice Abaye appears in a diamond as well. That will be a second approach to reading the Mishnah. Later on the page, more than halfway down, you'll notice a number 3. That's by Rava. And almost almost at the bottom, four lines up from the bottom, Rav Ashi appears with a number 4. And on Gimel, Amud Beis, a third of the way approximately from the top, you will notice Ravina appears in a diamond, and he is presented there as 5 Aleph. 5 Aleph is followed by Beis later on the Amud, a little more than halfway down on Gimel Amud Beis, where you see Ravina again appearing in a diamond, following the expression of Ika di Amri, means another version of Ravina's presentation. So with the power of the marking system, you get a bird's eye view of what is coming up in the next daf and a half of Gemara. In the context of today's shiur, we will deal with Rabbo Bar Ula's approach. He is the first approach, being that the second approach appears on Daf Gimel Omer Aleph. Omar Rabbo Bar Ula, Hochi Kotani. Thusly, we are to understand the Mishnah. Hakol Shochtin, that opening expression means the afilu tome b'chulin. Even someone who is ritually impure is able lechachila, as a first choice, to slaughter non-sanctified animals. Chulin are mundane animals, common animals, animals that one slaughters for his own personal meat consumption. The issue of ritual impurity is generally associated with things of a sanctified nature. Namely, we want to distance people or items that are tamei from things that are Beis HaMikdash related korbonos and truma and other related holy matters. You're mentioning now tamei in the realm of chulin. This seems to be odd. So the Gemara asks, tamei b'chulin mai l'meimra? What is the purpose in teaching that a person who's tomei is able to slaughter chulin? That seems to be very obvious. And we don't need Mishnayos to go out of their way to tell us things that we could figure out on our own. So the Gemara answers that the revelation of tomei b'chulin is of significance if you accept the following assumption, that there's something called chulin shinasu altaras akedish. This is a situation where a person treats his chulin as if they were holy items. Now you'll ask, why would someone want to do that? Why would someone want to impose so many restrictions, as in fact there are numerous restrictions concerning holy items that don't apply whatsoever with regard to the mundane? First and foremost is the issue of tumah. However, we have a person that wants to behave with restriction. In other words, he wants to conduct his life enjoying his chulin as if it were, or let's say, preparing his chulin food as if it were holy. The reason for this type of behavior is very simply because a person wants to be accustomed to this lifestyle. This will enable him to deal with holy items when they come his way with greater ease because he's already used to it. So he trains himself. And that's called chulin shinasu altaras hakodesh. So if you're going to ask, what in the world do I need to be told that someone who's tomei is allowed to shecht chulin? The Gemara answers, and now we read inside, b'chulin shinasu altaras hakodesh. We're dealing with chulin that the owner of which is treating it as if it were kodesh, holy food. Holy food, things like sacrifices. The kosovar, and we are of the opinion, or this Mishnah is of the opinion, chulin shinasu altaras hakodesh ke kodesh domu. Chulin that is prepared as if it were holy is considered like holy. Well, if that be the case, ketzad hu oseh, if you have someone that's tomei, that it wants to shecht chulin shinasu altaras hakodesh, what should he do? We don't want him coming into contact directly with the meat, because, as we said, he's treating his meat as if it's korbanos, and a person who's tomei is not allowed to come into contact with a korban. So what should he do? Maybe sakin aruka v'shochei ba. He should bring a long knife and use the long knife to shecht. Kedei shelo iga b'bosar, so that he doesn't come to touching the meat. The end of the blade is far enough away from the person that he can shecht the animal with the knife and still remain distanced from the meat. So, to review the main point, hakol shochtin is an expression that's of an inclusive nature. We are coming to include someone who is tomei, and he is allowed to shecht chulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh lechatchila. What about the next expression in the Mishnah that said ushchitosan kshera? That is what the Gemara explains right now. Uvemukdashim lo yishchot. When it comes to actual sacrifices, the tomei, even if he's using a long knife, should not lechatchila shecht. Shemo yiga b'basar, because of the fear of his possible coming to touch the meat. In other words, with real kachim, we are extra careful, since the Torah warns not to sanctify, not defile kachim. We take extraordinary precaution. Ve'im shochat, and if the tomei person slaughtered actual sacrificial meat, the omer bori li shelo nogati, and he says that it is clear to me that I did not touch the meat, then shchitoso kshera. So with this we've explained also the expression ushchitoson kshera. That's a different case. In other words, there's no contradiction whatsoever in the Mishnah. The opening expression hakol shochtin is dealing with the slaughter of chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh, and ushchitoson kshera is dealing with a tomei that shechted actual sacrifices and declared that in an unequivocal fashion he did not touch the meat. The Mishnah also said, Chutz Micherei Sheita V'Katan. What is the Mishnah telling us with this? That we are mentioning as exceptions the deaf mute, the imbecile, and the minor. The Afilu Bechulin Gredi, the Eved Nami Loi. That even in simple Chulin Gredi, Gredi means standard Chulin, that even chulin that he did not accept any stringencies regarding it. Namely, it's not al taharas hakodesh. Simple, standard chulin meat. We don't want the cheresh sheita v'katan slaughtering, even b'dieved. Shemo yishu, they may delay. Shemo yidrusu, they may have placed a vertical descending pressure on the knife. V'shemo yachlidu, or they may have caused the knife to be hidden during the Shechita. The Mishnah used an expression, v'chulon sheshachtu, and it mentioned v'achirim royim oisam, ahei. On what is that going? What is the phrase v'chulon? V'chulon is a pronoun meaning all of them. The Mishnah said all of them, the pronoun emphasized, that shechted and others viewed it or observed it. It's okay. So ahei means on what or regarding whom is the v'chulon referring? E lemo acheres sheita v'katan. If the v'chulon is referring to those individuals, these unqualified individuals that were mentioned immediately before this phrase, then Allah koi. Then the Mishnah, by saying Kulan Shishachta Vachem Rosen Aronosam is going on them, but the Mishnah was Alokoi was just talking about them. The Im Shachtu Miboyale, the more appropriate grammatical expression would have been simply the Im Shachtu, and not the word Vichulon. Therefore, it's not likely that Vichulon is referring to those that were mentioned immediately before, namely the Chirishet Vichodon, Elo. Atomei Bechulin. It's referring back to the Tomei Bechulin, the opening case of Hakol Shochtin, of someone who's Tomei, who is Shechting Chulin Shnaso Ataras HaKadosh. The Gemara rejects that though. Ho Amris L'chadchilo Nami Shochet. But you said that he can shecht even l'chachilo without any need for achirim royim oisoi. The elo atomei b'mukdashin. This phrase of v'chulon sheshochtu v'achirim royim oson is referring rather to the case of someone who is tomei, who is shechting with slaughtering korbonos. The Gemara to this though asks b'bori li tsagi, with his merely exclaiming that it's clear to me, Babori Li Shalonogati, where he says, it's clear to me, I didn't touch it. That is Saki, means that's sufficient. You don't need to have others watching. The Gemara says, in fact, the expression of Bechulon Shishachtu is still going on that case. And if you'll ask, couldn't he just declare Babori Li Shalonogati? Well, the lesse kamon dineshaile. He is no longer kamon in front of us, dineshaile, that we should be able to ask. He's not around to ask. And being that that's the case, we still say there's still a backup position whereby if others had seen this person shecht and not touch it, we can rely on their testimony. At this point then, the Gemara, according to Rabbo Bar Ula, has presented a coherent understanding of the Mishnah, avoiding all contradictions and all seeming unclarities. The Gemara now asks a new question. This question as well lasts a few lines. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a circle, an encircled kuf with a vertical descending line indicating the length of this question. We mentioned up till now that the issue of a tomei person shechting sacrifices is something that is not a first choice. It's okay b'di'evet. The Gemara wants to know, is our Mishnah in fact the source for that information? Is it not taught in Maseches Zvachim in a Mishnah? The Gemara, Hai Tomei B'Mukdashim, Mehocha Nafka? Mehosam Nafka, Hocha means from here in Chulin. Is it learned out? Is it revealed? Is it taught here? Is it not taught? Mehosam means from over there in Maseches Chulin, where the Mishnah says, and you can see we have it in a frame, Kol ha-psulim shishachtu, all the unqualified that slaughter, shchitos and kshera, their shchita is acceptable, shashchita kshera bezorim benoshim ubavodim. Shchita is acceptable even if it's done by non-kohanim, by women, and by slaves. Ubetmeim, and you've noticed the dashed underlining, even people that are ritually impure. V'afilu b'kotshe kotshim, even with regard to the high level sanctity sacrifices. When it comes to sacrificial procedure, only from the point of kabbalas adam, which means the receipt of the blood of the sacrifices in anticipation of it being applied to the altar, only from the point of kabbalas adam is it necessary to have kohanim involved. Ubilvan shiloyu tmeyin noyin bavosar. That which we mentioned that tmeyim, the ritually impure, can shecht, this is fine and good, provided that they don't touch the meat. The question then is, the issue of tmeyim is featured in the Mishnah in Zvachim. Why then are we explaining our Mishnah of Ushritasim Chera as a reference to Tmeim that Shecht Korbonus when that topic is dealt with in Maseches Zvachim? The Gemara answers, but the answer appears in two versions, and that we've indicated by using the house marking around the word Hocha and Hosam, and we have a little Aleph and Beis to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text indicating two versions. So the first answer is we're answering the issue of seeming duplication. Hocha Iker. Here in Maseches Chulin is the main source. The main source revealing that a Tomei is able to shecht Hochim b'di'evit. Hasam there in Zvachim, Aidi de Tonashar Psulim, along with the fact that other unqualified individuals are taught, Tana Nami Tomei b'mukdashim. The Mishnah there adds also the case of Tomei in the context of holy animals. The Iboy Esema, Hosam Iker, another approach, an almost opposite approach, suggests that there in Zvachim is the main source. Hosam Iker Debekotchim Koi, because there in Zvachim the whole general topic is one involving Kotchim sacrifices. Hocha, here in Chulin, which is not focused on sacrificial matters, Aidi de Tona Tomei b'Chulin, since the Mishnah opens up by telling us about the Tomei with regard to Chulin, Toni Nami Tomei b'Mukdashim, another aspect of a Tomei is taught, the Tomei with regard to Mukdashim. You notice at this point in the Gemara text that we have a brackets that appears. This brackets is indicate the length of the bracketed section is indicated by our bracket length indicator, which is a vertical descending dash dotted line. And you'll notice that it continues till the upper part of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We have a little note accompanied by the star on the inside margin, which explains these brackets. The Socha Sograyim, within the bracketed section, Yesh Biur, there is an analysis, B'mai Nitmo Hai Shochet. How did the Shochet become Tomei? We mentioned that someone who was Tomei can Shecht Mukdoshim B'di'evet. In other words, we don't seek him as first choice, but if he did, it's okay. The Gemara wants to know, B'mai nitmo hai shochet. How did he become Tomei? The Eich ze yochol ashpia al habosar. How can his tumo have an effect on the meat? Following the brackets, we go back to the series of explanations that attempt to resolve the Mishnah, our Mishnah, with the opening Hakol Shochtin, which indicates L'chatchila, and the following Ushvitosin Shera, which indicates B'dievet. So the Gemara proceeds within the bracketed section. Hai Tomei De'itmo B'mai. The Tomei person featured here, how did he become Tomei? E Lemo De'itmi B'meis. If you say that he absorbed Tumas Meis, that's ritual impurity as a result of being under the same roof as a corpse or having been in physical contact with a corpse. That's called Tumas Meis. He became Tomei through the Meis. That would make the individual, some called an Av Hatuma. That's a primary level of Tuma, and in this case associated with the dead. If that be the case, there is a special law regarding transfer of Tuma in the realm of Tumas Meis to items that are metal. And we're dealing in our sugya with a knife, which we're assuming is metal. And as opposed to general rules of Tuma transfer, where the tuma level drops down a notch. There is something called an Ava tuma. Below that is a Rishon tuma, and below that a Sheni, and further on to Shlishi, Revi. With the realm of metal and Tumas Mace, you don't have this drop down effect. Rather, there's a lateral movement, so to speak, where if the person was an Av HaTuma of Tumas Mace and he comes into contact with something metal, the metal is Tomei Mace as well. And that's alluded to in the following pasuk, where it says B'chalal Cherev. From that we learn that the Cherev, the sword, literally the metal item, is like the halal, like the corpse. If that be the case, we have an individual that himself was Tomei Mace. The knife that he's using would be Tomei Mace. The knife does come into contact with the animal, and the contact between the knife and the animal would cause the animal to become Tomei. So how in the world can we allow even B'dieved a Tomei to sheft korbanos? He will be ruining them. So the Gemara asks, how did the Tomei become Tomei? Reading the Gemara again, Ilei modit mi b'meis. That can't be. B'chalal cherev, Omar Rachmono. Cherev harehu kachalal. The cherev, the metal, the sword in that case, that he touches, which came into contact with the corpse, the sword becomes like the corpse. And that is used to express the idea of lateral tumah movement. Therefore, if our person in the case of the Mishnah was a Tomei Mace, which is an Av HaTumah, if he happened to be holding a metal knife, well, then Av HaTumah hu Litame Lisakin, he will then Mitame the Sakin, which itself will become an Av HaTumah. That's a lateral tumah level movement. The Ozal Sakin, the Tamise Labasar, and the Sakin will then go and Mitama and ruin the meat, will render it impure, and we're trying to avoid Tumas Basar at all costs. So the Gemara answers, the case of the Tuma, the Tomei person who's shechting, and the meat does not automatically become Tomei, unless the person himself were to touch the meat, is the itmish b'sheretz. The person became Tomei Tumas Sheretz. That's a result of contact with a dead, certain types of dead critters. Let us say a dead mouse. If a person touches a dead mouse, he becomes Tomei Sheretz. That means he becomes a first level Tuma. The Sheretz being an Ava Tuma, he becomes a Rishon Tuma. The knife he touches becomes a Sheni Tuma. And therefore, let us correct that. He becomes a Rishon Letuma, and as such, a vessel does not become Tomei. A Rishon Letuma is incapable of transmitting Tuma to people and vessels. Therefore, the knife remains Tohor and does not affect the meat. The Eboy is saying, Malo Ilum Ditmi B'Mace. We can say that the person became Tomei Tumas Mace. Ukigoin Shebodak Kremis Shokona V'Shochat Bo. He didn't use a metal knife. He used a Kremis Shokona. We can say that it's a very sharp reed that he used for slaughtering. We have a certain preconceived notion that slaughtering is accomplished only through metal knives. That's just not true. Disanya, we have a brisa that bears this out. Bakoil Shochatin. Through all methods, one can shecht, through all implements, bein b'tzur, whether it be a stone, bein b'shuchis, glass, bein b'krumis shalkana. And as a result of that, the person himself may have been an av hatumah, but a flat piece of, let's say, sharp reed does not absorb tumah. That falls into the realm of pshute kliates, and pshute means flat wood. Flat wood is not mekabel tuma. And as a result of that, we can understand that he himself may be tumei. if he's using a long knife, he's not going to come into actual contact with the sacrificial meat, and therefore, b'di'eved, his shechita will be all right. Before concluding our shir, we just want to point out that the abaye that appears in a diamond is explained by Rashi in a structural form, where Rashi, in introducing abaye, says, Abaye mahader l'trusi l'chachid l'yevet masnisin. So you can see from Rashi the need to be sensitive to structural issues by virtue of the fact that Rashi himself has to trouble to explain what the role of Abaye in this Gemara is. And with Abaye, we can easily see the value of our brackets that shows that Abaye is really a reference to that which appeared before the brackets, namely the need to explain the Mishnah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.